You're listening to Magic Indulgence from More Than, the insurer that does more.
It's Magic 105.4, and on our Indulgence tonight, we're with two film actors to talk about their new movie called The Oxford Murders. Elijah Wood is with us, and John Hurt as well. And I think you guys just actually met each other again today. You seem, when you walked in the room, you hadn't seen each other.
We
hadn't,
no.
No, we've seen each other on publicity for in Spain and then in France. And actually, we didn't see each other in France, did we? Because you did yours.
I did,
yeah. Yeah, before.
Oh.
So... That's how
it's. Should we just do a pickup for that?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Okay.
From we haven't seen each other for a bit. We see each other when we're doing publicity in different countries.
Yeah,
we saw each other in Spain a lot.
Yeah,
was that the last time?
It was, I think. Was that in November or December? Or
is that the last time?
Was it January? No, I think it was
so
January.
Inextricably bound up with each other
since
the making of the film that one loses sense of how long ago it was when we met.
Absolutely. Yeah. And in the film, you play a professor, you play a student.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was there any kind of relationship like that between the two of you off screen?
I didn't feel that way. I sort of felt like we came into it working together. I think we both recognised the challenge.
And also, you see, I mean, it's not as if it's a younger and an older, because as long as I've been in the business, he's been in it almost as long as me, because he started when he was 8 years old. So, I mean, he can go back almost as far as me. So there's not even that kind of a gap. No, we just we got on very early. See, I mean, Elijah's very unlike most American actors. And I'm not. This isn't an anti-American story by any means. It's just there's a very different tradition in America and here. The Americans tend to travel with an entourage and with their PAs and their friends and so on, you know. Sort of understandably when you're abroad and so on, but Elijah turned up on his own with his girlfriend occasionally, and within 5 minutes you thought that he was a European. So it made life very easily.
So we're here to talk about the film and music as well, and you've chosen some magic favourites for us, and there's kind of an unwritten rule about this programme that most people choose an ABBA song, which is what you've done.
Is that true?
Absolutely, yeah. Whoever they are, wherever they're from, everybody kind of gravitates to the ABBA. And you've chosen maybe the ultimate pop tune, which is SOS.
SOS. I'm a huge ABBA fan. And SOS, I think, is probably my favorite ABBA song. I just think that, you know, they are kind of one of the great pop bands of all time. I think a lot of people sort of see them as a sort of cheesy pop band. But they were extraordinary. I mean, their arrangements and the production... It's just amazing, and SOS, I think, is a sort of perfect song for them.
Yeah, and we've got the Mamma Mia film coming soon as well, haven't we?
Yeah, I feel a bit strange about that. I love the play. I love the musical because I love the music. So it was really fun to see the musical. I don't know if it translates. I think what's fun about it is that you get to sort of live see the band play these songs and get to experience it if you've never seen ABBA before. So I don't know about it being in a film or translating well, but
I haven't seen it, but I think that is quite cheesy, isn't it?
Yeah,
so that's the impression that my friends give me.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be kind of cheesy. Yeah. So I'm curious to see what they do with the film. Yeah,
great. That's where we get it in. We're talking to John Hurt and Elijah Wood. They're together for the new film called The Oxford Murders. I'm guessing both of you can take your pick really of films now. You must get so many offers. So what was it that attracted you to this film, John?
Well, to answer your first
assumption,
yes, that you can take your pick. Not easy these days
at all. No.
It's not as easy as you'd think. But I thought it was, one, it was a very good script. Secondly, when I met Alex de Iglesias, we got on hugely well. So at that time, I didn't know that Elijah was going to do it. So he joined slightly later.
Mm.
Yeah. We were in possible trouble, and very fortunately, Elijah decided to do it. But no, it was a good script. It was a very good script, a terrific character to play, and I got on with Alex, and here we are.
Yeah. Hmm. Difficult film to describe, though. I mean, I've seen it. It's kind of a murder mystery, but not at the same time, and it's kind of linked in with philosophy and mathematics, and it sounds a little bit dry, actually, when you do that.
That's the trouble with talking about it, because it's not dry, really, at all. It's what makes it different from most murder mysteries, I think, is that the plot, which is instead of being sort of preconceived, it happens in front of you. It's as much a surprise to the protagonist as it is to the audience.
Mm.
And I think that's if we pull that off, that's actually quite an exciting concept.
It's actually the perfect way to describe the film.
There you go.
I mean, it really is, because it is the story is revealing itself to the characters as it is revealing itself to the audience, and that's kind of what's so exciting about it. And it moves so fast.
The two characters are different, apart from their ages being, the other end of the... each end of the scale, as it were. I have to admit it. One is a pessimist, and the other is an optimist, which is quite a nice mix to put those two together. Mm. And so there's a constant battle between the two. And in the end, of course, neither is right. Mm. So, but I can't go further than that.
Absolutely not. It's more the whole film. Let's take another song. Van Morrison is always a popular choice on this program as well. And John, you've chosen a Van Morrison song.
I have, yes. Brown Eyes, yes.
Brown Eyed Girl, yeah.
Brown Eyed Girl, I mean, yes. Yes, I remember I had a friend of mine who had a fantastic collection of CDs and so on. And I was looking through it and I said, what an amazing collection. He said, yeah, it's really worth having a great collection of CDs because it means you don't have to listen to Van Morrison all the time. And there was a period when everybody was listening to Van Morrison. And I think, not surprisingly, because he's ultimate brilliant, professional, extraordinary muscular singer, and it just appeals to me.
Brilliant, that's where we'll play the song. Elijah Wood, John Hurt, talking about the Oxford Murderers, and did I say murders or murderers? Then I said the Oxford Murderers, didn't I? Talking about the Oxford Murders and sharing some of their favourite music with us on Magic this evening. You are really, Elijah, a music lover, though, aren't you? I think you have your own record label.
Yeah.
So what's your position? Are you the chief executive, CEO, or?
I guess. I mean, I'm sort of the sole person at my label, so the president, I think I'm all of them.
You're everything.
My PA, yeah, I'm all of them.
Talent scout.
Sure.
That's what I told you. He doesn't turn up with an entourage. He just comes on his own.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm 20 people outside the studio, of course.
But. Right. I'm the A&R, all those things. Yeah, it's great fun. I'm a huge fan of music. It's fun to be involved, on the other side of it and finding great bands that I'm passionate about and sort of getting them out there.
Yeah. So while you're in London then, will you be trying to find new groups?
No, I've actually brought over, I didn't bring them over, they came out independently of me, but there's a band called Eloise and the Savoir Faire who are on my label, and they've been out here playing a bunch of shows, and they're actually playing on the Friday Night Project on Friday with me, which will be fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and you actually, you find the bands, you sign them up, you get the deal.
Yeah.
It's all done.
Yeah.
Kind of like a one-man band.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I have an imprint, my label's an imprint on a larger label, so... The sort of the daily activities of marketing and distributing are sort of their responsibilities.
Okay. Who chose Bill Withers' Lovely Day?
That was me.
That was you. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a fabulous song, and what a voice as well.
It is. And there's actually a great joke that goes along with this. How do you turn a duck into a soul singer?
I think we've got the punchline.
Yeah, you put it in the oven until it's Bill Withers.
Can we have one of those sound effects that keeps pitching?
I love Bill Withers. I think he is such an extraordinary performer, songwriter, soul singer, that kind of elevated soul to, I don't know, there's something deeper in meaning, I think, to some of his songs.
Yeah.
And Lovely Day is a great sort of pop soul song, and it's wonderful. That goes on for ages. Lovely Day, the end. Literally, like, the end trails off forever and ever and ever. It's the song that never ends.
And recorded before there was electrical trickery that you could extend a voice like that. I mean, that's how the man can sing, which is
incredible.
Phenomenal.
Yep.
Right, great. Elijah Wood, John Hurt with us on our Indulgence program tonight, and we're talking about Oxford Murders, and we're here in a hotel where you're doing one of these big press things. You're talking to everybody around the world and all over the country. About the show, and we're right here in the heart of Soho, which I think, John, is an area that you are probably more familiar than most people with.
It's my manor.
Yes, I thought so. Yeah.
Yeah.
From early days,
when I was at St. Martin's School of Art. Yeah.
So do you remember the great characters of Soho back in the?
I certainly do.
Yeah, Ironfoot Jack.
Yes, I remember Ironfoot. Yes, absolutely.
These were the kind of bohemian people who lived in this area.
And Long John, of course, was always around.
Yeah.
In those days.
I wonder if those people, there are people like that around now that we just don't know of.
I don't think that Soho is quite, I don't think there's any small area, because the world's got so much smaller, people don't tend to congregate in the same place as they used to. Also, I think there was a big, one of the reasons was the licensing laws. So therefore you've got lots of little clubs, and people of like minds used to go there between closing time and opening time in the afternoon. And it was a very, oddly enough, though we all complained about the licensing laws, it was very creative time because of that, because of everybody meeting and talking and swapping ideas, and rather like the Parisian Café Society, you know, in that sense. And I don't think that happens as much now. It's rather sad, a pity.
Are there any places that you'd like to take Elijah, you know, places in this area of London that he maybe hasn't fully come across yet?
Well, I should really take him to the Colony Room, shouldn't I? But it's a bit, it's slightly different from it was and what it was. I mean, when I first went there, there was Francis Bacon and Sia Porter and...
But the art's still on the wall. A lot of the art is still on the wall there, isn't it?
And Lucian Freud, all those sort of people were all met there, drank there, argued there.
And you're obviously still a member, are you?
And I don't think you... I think it's rather like being a priest, you know, once a member, always a member.
Yeah. Let's play another song. John Lennon, of course, a favourite of everybody's, and you've chosen Imagine, John. For which particular reason?
Well, I think it's a great song. I think it's encapsulates the thinking of that one of that particular period. I think it's one of the great agnostic songs of ever, really. Extraordinary. Well, we know what he is. I mean, he's extraordinary man, extraordinary singer and individual, wonderful song. So I mean, I can. It's one of those songs that if you hear it playing anywhere, even in a supermarket, you tend to stop and just listen to it. It's one of the greats.
Did you know any of the Beatles?
I did quite well. Yes, I knew George very well because I did a film with him. Well, I met him actually through my late girlfriend. In 1967, certainly, and I think I met him before that, probably.
Okay. Right at the height of the power of the band.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, it was thrilling. I mean, it was. I remember being at a party in Esher at George Harrison's, and I was being chased all over the place by extremely drunken Janis Joplin, for instance, and trying to avoid her. I think she had designs. And much as I appreciate her as a singer, I didn't want to have a design made on me. So I was avoiding her. But, you know, these sort of things in retrospect, of course, are much more exciting when you talk about them than at the time, you know, because that's what happened, you know. What happens is what happened.
Yeah.
You know, you don't...
They have the glamour of time, I suppose.
The glamour of time, and you can't say that this is better than anything else, because the kids today, they've got their own glamour. Yeah. They've got their own things that they're going to remember, you know. Mm-hmm. You know,
nothing changes.
That has to be respected in a sense.
Yeah, in some ways it's always in retrospect.
It is in retrospect, very much so.
Because you don't think,
my goodness, I'm living in an incredibly exciting time. I mean, there was an area of it, because we were crawling away from the war, that when the Beatles and the Stones hit, I mean, I can remember seeing the Stones in High Wycombe for half a crown. And... amazing, you know. I mean, and in that sense, it was extremely exciting. But I can't differentiate whether it was because of my age, or whether it really seriously was a particularly exciting period.
Yeah.
Probably was an exciting period. Well, it was. I mean, look at the birth of all those bands and so on, and Floyd and everything. But as I say, I'm sure that the bands nowadays are to the kids nowadays. As exciting for them.
Well, there's that old thing, isn't it? You will always love the music that was around when you were 16.
Mm.
Yeah, I remember somebody saying to George Harrison, said, what do you think of the new bands? And he said, they're exactly like us, only better. So,
wow.
That's the way he looked at it.
That's pretty great.
Because they were, in a sense, musically, you know, they were more proficient, and you could do more in recordings. They were recording on four tracks.
Mm.
Which is extraordinary when you think about it.
Yeah, they made good use of four tracks.
Not bad.
It's Magic 105.4, spending some time with Elijah Wood and John Hurt, talking about the Oxford Murders and their favourite music as well. But I think both of you knew at an early age that you wanted to get into the world of movies and acting. Is that, do you think there's something in your genes that, that makes you want to be like that?
I don't know.
It sounds like an affliction, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think for me it was always that I loved being around people. I loved being around other people, and I was always intrigued by other people and fascinated, and you know, the idea to create sort of in those environments and sort of take what you've experienced was exciting, you know. I think that's initially, because I was young. I was so young. In some ways, I only had a vague idea of what it was that I was doing, but I enjoyed the creative environment of working with people, and that's sort of what drove me.
Yeah.
Yes, you had a different start.
I really did.
Start was much more traumatic than that, in a sense. I knew that I wanted to act from the age of 9, but I think that's really because I felt completely at home on a stage. I suddenly felt that that's where I should be. But there's a touch of the Olivier, too. I mean, Olivier always used to say when he said, why did you, you know, want to be an actor? Was it because it was a place to express yourself? And he said, no. He said, it's the best place I could think where I could show off. And I think there's a certain amount of truth in that. He cut through a lot of nonsense, and there is a touch of that. You know, it's another way of saying I want to express myself. Yes, mm-hmm. But it's sort of kind of more truthful.
And you worked with Olivier, didn't you?
I did once. Yes, yeah. I played the fool to his Lear. Yeah, and that was a very marvelous experience. Very privileged to have been able to do that. Yeah. Mm.
The first time that I became aware of your work, John, was 1975, The Naked Civil Servant, which was shown again on one of the BBC's digital channels recently. And I sat there and watched it with my children, and they couldn't quite believe how attitudes to homosexuality have changed in such a relatively short time.
Oh, it's an area of life that has changed more than anything else that I can think of. And I suppose, in a sense, I mean, when you consider that I was told not to do it, by many people advised not to do it, you'll never work again.
Wow.
And I'd never really considered it, in a sense, to be something to do with, I mean, just homosexuality. It was to do with the character. It's to do with a man who's tenderness of the individual as opposed to the cruelty of the crowd.
Yes.
I really was extremely outré at the time, extremely so. And it was a kind of watershed in television.
And what a remarkable man, Quentin Crisp. Ever thought of revisiting that
character?
Well,
I probably am going to revisit him. It's very much on the cards. I can't say I haven't signed on any dotted lines as yet, but this summer probably I'm going to do the period of his life, which has been written rather beautifully, when he went to New York and was there until the age of 90, of course. So it's a completely different look at him. It's a look at him being lauded by people and recognised and admired and in a very underground kind of way.
And of
but
course,
nevertheless, as opposed to being beaten up and...
And I suppose that recognition comes partly out of the fact that you made a film about him in 1975. That must have changed people's perceptions, not only of that wider world, but also himself.
Well, I don't want to grab that limelight for myself, but I think it did have a huge difference to him. And I went to see his one-man show when we were making it, and there were 5 people in the audience at the King's Head in Islington. And then, of course, after it came out, he filled the Duke of York's, absolutely crammed it with his one-man show. So he did actually become a star character almost overnight.
Sure. Time for some more music now, and we're going to visit the world of Motown with The Temptations' My Girl. I think this is one of your choices, Elijah.
Yeah. My Girl, actually, I saw that, you know, that song for me was probably the first time that I really got into music on my own, I think, because it was a CD. I got a CD of the best of The Temptations, and I really latched onto that song. I was 8 years of age. I was working on a film in Baltimore, and for some reason I completely fell in love with it, and I couldn't get enough then of The Temptations, and it was sort of the first time I'd discovered really soul music for the first time. So yeah, it has special significance with me, and I think it's a classic song.
Great, okay. Are we going to get the... How much longer do we have?
Oh, we got long.
A couple of minutes. Oh, that's fine.
Easily,
okay.
More.
We just... We need to just do a little... okay. Is there anything else I needed to cover on this? Do you know, we've managed to do this without talking about Frodo or the Elephant Man. Isn't that amazing? until now. Elijah Wood, John Hurt are with us on our Indulgence tonight. Thank you for sharing the music, and it's been some very interesting stories. Elijah, I think your choice of film roles recently has been absolutely fascinating. You seem to really know what the kind of film that you want to do, which is something probably to get you away from that Frodo character that you might be wholly associated with by some people.
I think, well, potentially, but I must say that, you know, my interest in playing different kinds of roles before and after Lord of the Rings has really not changed. I think I've always been interested, after, you know, visiting one kind of character, that the next thing to be quite different and to be a challenge and to continue to grow as an actor. I mean, I think that was slightly exacerbated by the Lord of the Rings because it was in people's consciousness so extremely for so long.
Yeah.
That my interest was even greater, I think, to try things quite different. But at the same time, it's just my need as a human being and as an actor to continue to try new things.
Sure. And, I mean, John, I think that goes for you. I mean, I've looked at the resume of your films. It goes from the Tigger movie to Hellboy and Shakespeare. You know, you seem to be embracing the whole variety of opportunities as well.
Yes, nothing's been planned. But it's the way it's turned out, and I love it that way. Yeah. I consider whenever I do something that it's the beginning of the beginning. You know that you can't rely on any tricks from things that worked in other things. You know, and I try to start with a clean sheet. You know, rather like a writer, I suppose, yeah. Or like a painter. You know.
And my daughter wouldn't forgive me if I didn't actually ask you, will Mr. Ollivander return in any of the future Potter films, or has your association with Harry Potter finished now?
Oddly enough, I was talking to my agent about that yesterday, and I think there is a possibility that Mr. Ollivander might reappear, albeit probably briefly.
Well, thank you very much, guys, for talking
to us
and sharing that music. And The Oxford Murders in the cinemas now, depending on when this is going to be broadcast, but we can re-edit that, can't we? Thank you very much for sharing the music. And we'll take one final song, which will be a Bob Marley tune. Always great to hear the music of Bob Marley, but any particular reason for One Love?
Yes, a very particular reason, because I was shown a list of what was available to be able to choose from, and it was the only Bob Marley. I was sad to see that, as indeed Imagine was the only John Lennon.
Well, if you have a...
However...
That list is
no,
just a suggestion.
No, it's a great song. It's a great song anyway. But if I see Bob Marley on a list, then I'm not going to leave him out, because I think he is one of the events of the last century.
Yeah, right. Pretty extraordinary.
So you both agree on this, on the choice of Bob Marley?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Bob Marley is... He completely transcended his own country, his own... style of music. You know, people classify him as being a reggae artist. He proved with the last few records that he did that he was way beyond that. Yeah. The things that he was saying.
Colossal humanitarian.
Absolutely. A friend of mine actually described his music as not being international but outernational, in that it...
Oh, that's kind of nice.
It's beyond.
Everybody seems to love Bob Marley, don't they? Which is a great place to end. Thank you very much indeed, guys. Here is Bob Marley and
Thank
One
you.
Love.
You've been listening to Magic Indulgence with More Than, indulging you with its personal customer manager service. You can download this interview in full at magic.co.uk/podcasts.